Bible Baptist Church, located at 2015 Beulah Road in Madisonville, Kentucky, would like to invite you to listen to a message of the sovereign grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ by their pastor, David Edmondson.
This morning I'll be speaking to you out of the Old Testament book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 11. In verse 18, we find Israel with contempt, dissatisfaction, and with an inward desire to return to the slavery and bondage of Egypt represented by sin and this world in which we live. They asked this question. They said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat?" They loathed, they hated, and they were opposed to the manna that God sent from heaven. They called it light bread. You know, nothing that God sends in the way of provision for his people is insignificant or light. This manna was the sole provision that God gave for sustaining life. It was the bread of heaven that kept them alive. And child of God, it's Christ who gives and sustains life in you. God's manna had ceased to be enough for them. They wanted something more, and it had to do with the flesh, and it always does. What a picture this is of man's dissatisfaction with Christ by nature. He will not have this man to rule over him. And even when God reveals to a man that Christ is their only hope of eternal life, that he's the only provision that God provided, so many times they want more. Christ is not enough. That insatiable desire for the nourishment that this Egypt of a world has to offer is still on the mind of many, and many a professing Christian desires what this world has to offer. God sent manna, and the people loathed it. John said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." God said, "You want meat, I'll give you meat. If you want this world more than me," God says, "I'll give you this world until it spews out of your nostrils." In verse 19 here in Numbers 11, God said, "You shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils. And it'll be loathsome to you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why come we forth out of Egypt?" To add anything to Christ's work is certain death. To trust in anything other than Christ's perfect righteousness is the broad way that leads to destruction. To desire anything other than the bread from heaven, the manna, which pictures Christ, no other, is to leaven the whole loaf, and that lump being us. To desire more than God's one provision is spiritual suicide. To be dissatisfied with Christ is to be serving the wrong master. Now, if any man or woman love Egypt, love this world and its appealing delicatessens, give great cause for one to seek God and make their calling and election sure. In verse 21, we read, "And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them?" And the Lord said unto Moses, and here's the question that I want you to consider this morning. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? He went on to say in verse 23, "Thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not." I want us to consider that question. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? It's the Lord that asked this question, so it definitely needs to be carefully considered. The question is a very simple question. It's a yes or no question. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? We could ask it this way. What is it that the Lord is unable to do? Is he who never changes somehow changed? Is he who is all-powerful had his power diminished? We live in a world where in church buildings you consistently hear statements like, God wants to save you. How about this one? God is trying to get your attention. Now, I don't know about you, but God got my attention without any effort on his part. Religious men tell the lost God wants you to give him your heart. That is not so. While the king's heart, along with everyone else's, is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it, meaning the heart, whithersoever he will. Proverbs 21:1. Whosoever, whenever, wherever, however God sees fit, he has the power to turn the rivers of water on earth, and he has the power to turn the heart of a man within his own soul. Recently, I had someone send me a picture of a local pastor standing at the front of his church in front of a big screen, and that big screen had posted upon it these words, God has a need of you. Now, before I go any further, let me say this without any reservation. God doesn't have any needs at all. He's God. The caption underneath the picture was, the reason we fight insignificance in the church is because hell knows that God needs us. In other words, if hell and the devil can defeat you, he renders God helpless. He renders God needful. That's the most ridiculous statement I ever heard. No one that knows God could say such a thing. The reason the church fights insignificance is because we are insignificant. God has no need. He's God. What is a worm? That's what Scripture refers to sinful men and women as, worms, maggots. What is a worm or a maggot going to do or offer to help God? The Lord Jesus said to sinners, you cannot come to me that you might have life. You don't have the ability to come. Do you know why? Because you're dead in trespasses and sin. The only way any sinner can come to God is for God to give them life, make them able, and draw them by his Spirit. The Lord said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Your will is not to come. He went on to say, you have not the love of God in you. He said, I came in my Father's name, and you received me not. How can you believe which honor one another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, what was the honor that they were not seeking? Well, the very one who was standing in front of them was the honor of God, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about man's will. Man's will is not to come to God that they might have life. You will not come to me. And no sinner will unless God makes them willing in the day of his power. Now, friends, I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible plainly teaches. I heard a man just this month say, God loves us because we love him. Well, it's just the opposite. We love him because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. Now, I'm telling you, he had to love us, choose us, call us, and save us, which gave us the life and ability to love him in return. If my only hope was God loving me because of my love for him, I am headed for hell. I'm dead in trespasses and sin. I can't love God. God has to give me life before I can ever trust in him. All my hope and confidence lies in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. Salvation is God's work. It cannot fail. It must come to pass, because the God of grace cannot fail. His hand is never too short. Why, he wrought wonders in Egypt. He divided the Red Sea. He rained down manna from heaven. He caused water to flow from a rock in Horeb. Surely he could give Israel this flesh that they desired for a month. But they doubted him. And so did Moses, and so would have we. You think of the great unbelief Moses showed in the two questions he asked the Lord. In verse 22, Moses said, "Shall the flocks and the herds be slain? Will that be enough to suffice and provide meat for a month? Why, we brought these cattle out of Egypt to start all over again in the land of promise. Shall we eat them all up in a month now and have nothing for when we arrive? Shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together that they may eat flesh for a month? Lord, are you going to drop fish into our camp like you do the manna?" Now listen, what unbelief that is. We do the same thing, but it's the question is the Lord's hand waxed short? Now I'm just wanting to talk to you this morning. I don't have a lot of notes here. I want to speak to you from my heart. Does the Creator expect the creature to fulfill His promise for him? He that promises fulfills. He is faithful that promised. God's people become fully persuaded of what? That what God has promised, He's able to perform. Romans 4:21. Does not creation prove it? Why, the first day of creation, God declares and displays His sovereign majesty and omnipotent power over all things. Well, just the first words of the Bible prove it. In the beginning, God created. He created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now who can read those verses and ask this question? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Why, it certainly wasn't in creation. Has something since changed? Has all of a sudden God's hand waxed short? David said, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He. And He did it in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places. Why, He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries." Psalm 135, verses 6 and 7. Has man's will rendered God helpless? Has man's will dethroned God? Is God now dependent upon man to let Him save them? That is not the God of the Bible, dear friend. Is man now controlling his own destiny? No. No, he's not. It's God who makes lightnings. It's God who sends the rain. It's God who brings the wind from His treasuries. Has the lightning stopped? Has the rain ceased from falling? Has the wind come to an end? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Praise the Lord from the earth. Fire, hail, snow, and vapor, stormy winds fulfill His word. Psalm 148:8. With such a God as this, should we not believe Him? Why, His own disciples said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" The great Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, He created the wind and He controls the wind. Even the seas obey Him and He still controls the wind and the sea. Even the storms of life that blow us about, God sent them and God's in control of them. Does God's providence not prove it so? Has God stopped working all things together for the good of those that love Him, who are the called according to His purpose? Has God stopped working all things together for the good of his elect people? No, God hasn't changed. Neither has his sovereign hand. It's still not waxed short. Our God does what he wills in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. No, it has not waxed short. And God knows what's best for us. We certainly don't. Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done. That's the prayer that a believer prays. Lord, don't let us have our will. Don't let us have our way. I don't know what's best for me, but God does. Lord, teach me thy way and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies, my sin. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I'll walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. That's what faith is. It's submitting to Christ as your righteousness before God. It's trusting in the way which God has provided to save sinners. There's only one way that you can come to God, and that is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. What a great sin to desire more than what God has provided, especially when his one provision is his begotten darling son. Is submitting to Christ become a loathsome thing to you? Is trusting in Christ alone as your only means of salvation? Does it fall short? Do you want something more? There is nothing more. What a great sin to desire something other than Christ. My, my. Does God neglect to take care of his people on earth? Do you worry about clothing? Well, consider the lilies of the field. You see how they grow? They don't toil or work or spin. And Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. Do you worry about food? Do you worry about what you shall eat and what you shall drink? You shouldn't, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Is God less effective and less bountiful today than he was in the time of creation? Is God less powerful than he was in the time of Adam or the time of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and David? Is he the Lord that changes not, or is he not? Is he the same yesterday and today and forever, or is he not? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is there any token of God's grace that shows his power to be failing? Are sinners not still saved? Is the gospel still preached? Yes. Are sheep still coming to the fold? Yes, they are. Is God's word still quick and powerful, sharper than in any two-edged sword? You better believe it is. Can God still convict the heart of a sinner? It's he that looks on the heart. It's he that gives new hearts. Can God still melt the heart? Yes. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord, and so is yours, and so is mine. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? I hope you answered no to that question. In creation, providence, and grace, the unanimous verdict is that God is still almighty. The God of the Bible still does what he wills. He still wills every promise that he gives, and he still fulfills every promise that he purposed. And did you know that there is only one creature that God made that ever doubts him? There is but one species that would ever think that God's hand is shortened. Man. Man. Angels have never doubted God. Why, with demons and devils, it's the same. Devils believe and tremble. But man, the most favored of all creatures, is the very one that mistrusts God. You see, the sin of unbelief is the high and black and infamous sin that ascends a soul to hell. But the child of God knows, because God has revealed it to them. God has made it clear that His powerful, sovereign, omnipotent hand is not waxed short. It's not made ineffective. Now that phrase, waxed short, means curtailed or frustrated or discouraged. I hear men today preach Jesus Christ, God the Son, God the Father, as a frustrated and defeated God and Savior. It's true. God never wants. Oh, God wants to save you. No, God never wants. He saves whom He will. He has mercy on whom He will. God never needs. God never tries. God's not trying to save sinners. It's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Our strength is our weakness, because in our weakness, Christ is made strong for us. Our poverty is really our wealth. Though Christ was rich, yet for your sakes, He became poor that you, through His poverty, might be rich. Why do we doubt God? You know, there are some that have faith in Christ. They believe that Christ can save sinners. He just can't save them. I guess they think themselves to be super sinners. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is a super Savior. He's not Jesus Christ superstar, no. He's God. Jesus Christ is God. And God is able to do everything that He promises. There are some that are convinced of their sin, but they're afraid to trust their soul to Christ, saying, well, He can't save me. I'm so guilty. I'm so wretched. I'm so callous. I can't repent as I ought. I don't feel as I ought. I don't believe as I ought. You're exactly right, and neither do I. But it's not dependent upon you and I. It's not dependent upon our faith. It's dependent upon His faith. That's right. I've sinned against His light and knowledge, and I've sinned against mercy shown to me, against the constant grace that I've received, and I've grieved His Spirit. But He can still save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. God asks, is the Lord's hand waxed short? God says, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Did He not save the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus? Why then can He not save you? Are you a greater sinner than He is a God? Has Christ's merits lost their Savior? My wife recently began to make homemade bread, and when she bakes that bread, oh, you can smell it all over the house, and it smells so good. It has such a good savor, and I can just taste that bread by smelling it. Has Christ lost His sweet-smelling savor to you? I can assure you that He's not waxed short of any grace. You see, the problem lies with you and I. If you knew the Savior, you'd trust Him. That is so true. The reason sinners don't trust Christ is because they don't know Christ. To know Him is to trust Him, and to trust Him is to know Him. And if you ever see who Christ is, you will trust Him. He's the only one who can save. Is there anything that would make you ask, is the Lord's hand waxed short? To any who are still unsure, it will not be that way forever. It will not be that way for much longer. Why? Because the last part of our text is, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Now, God is not bound by time. God is eternal. So, when God says, thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not, is that now or a later time? Is now in this life or in the judgment? Is now today the day of your salvation, or is now in that day that we stand before God and give an account of what we thought of Christ? Is now, while there is still breath, is now while there is still a heartbeat, or is now when it's too late? There is going to come a time that it's too late to trust in Christ. Just like Noah, he built that ark for 120 years. All were welcome to come into the ark. But one day it began to rain and the ark door was shut. God shut it. And everyone on the outside of that ark perished. There's coming a day when the door will be shut. Friends, Christ is that ark. Get into Christ. He's the only one that can shelter you from God's holy wrath that is going to fall on this world of unbelievers. The Lord God of heaven and earth says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father and the soul of the Son, all souls belong to God." God has the right to do what he will with his own. He says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." God says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But God also said, "Choose this day whom you'll serve." God also said, "He that hath the Son hath life." Do you know what else God said? God asked, "Why will you die?" God also said that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Why won't you trust him? Don't question whether you believe yourself to be one of God's elect or not. I have people all the time say, "Well, maybe I'm not one of God's elect." Come and bow to Christ and show that you are. Election doesn't save sinners. Christ does. Coming to Christ proves you to be the elect of God. No man comes to the Father except God is the exception, except the Father draw him. And if you come to Christ, it proves that God called you and drawed you and elected you. Wondering whether you're one of God's elect or not is foolish if you love the Lord Jesus and trust in what he's done for you. Salvation's of the Lord, period. Not you and the Lord. Not something that you add to what Christ did to make it complete. When the Lord Jesus fulfilled salvation for his people, you know what he said from the cross? "It is finished." It's finished. The work is done. There's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for you to add. It's finished. Christ has finished the work. He, the Lord Jesus, was made to be sin for you. He who knew no sin. He didn't know any sin, but he was made. God made him to be sin. God took all your sin, past, present, and future, and put it on him. He was made to be sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. God requires perfect righteousness. There's no way for you to provide it. Only Christ can provide it for you. So come to Christ. Trust in him. Believe in him. Know that he has put your sin away. It's God who's made it so. For Christ's sake, amen.
You have been listening to a message by David Edmondson, the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of God's free, sovereign grace in Christ, you can write to our mailing address at P.O. Box 652, Madisonville, Kentucky 42431, or log on to our website at freegraceradio.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, we meet at 2015 Beulah Road, Madisonville, Kentucky, and our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship services begin at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesday evening services at 7 o'clock p.m. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for another message of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ.